and a privilege to preach God's word today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to your hearts through the message, not the messenger. Amen. I want to sing a song. I asked Brother Greg if I could sing, and he says, hey, the service is yours. So I'm going to sing a song before I preach, and I'm going to sing In the Garden today. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear pulling on mine ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks in the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'll stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. Aren't you glad that he walks and talks with us? And that he calls us his own. Hallelujah. Well, for the text this morning, is in the bulletin. Brother Greg called me earlier this week and asked me if I could give it to Marcia. And so the text is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Would you stand with me in honor to God as I read this passage this morning? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. May God add his blessing to reading his word. You may be seated. And would you bow with me in a moment of prayer before I bring the message? Father, we come before you today. We're so grateful for the honor to stand behind the sacred desk today. And Father, I acknowledge before those that have come that this is not my word, but God, it's your word. And I pray there, Lord, if there's one within the sound of my voice on Facebook or in this auditorium this morning that has never come to the cross for the forgiveness of sin and for salvation, I pray that today would be the day that they would receive you before it's eternally too late. Father, I pray that you would anoint me with your power and fill me with your spirit. And Father, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary those that have come, their eyes would be blinded towards man, but God, their eyes would be open to the cross. And Father, I pray that you would take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Father, may they be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in the wonderful name of Jesus I pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. As I said, it's a privilege to be in your presence today, to share God's word. And, you know, the title of the message is, I give to Marcia this week, that the Lord has laid this message on my heart for you people today. Is when trials come, when troubles come, when loneliness comes, when discouragement comes, you fill in the blank today. Maybe you're struggling financially. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're having marital problems. Maybe you have lost a daughter, a son, a grandchild. Maybe you've lost a father or mother. Maybe you've lost a grandpa or a grandma. I don't know what your trial is, but you know what? As I stand before you today, I confess to you, and Pastor would agree, that even ministers have trials. Ministers go through problems, maybe different than yours. And these past 2 years of the pandemic has not been easy for any of us. But I've always looked to the Lord to give us guidance and direction. And there's four things that I want to share from the Word of God today, and you have the notes in your bulletin, the blank word, and I'll give you the word, the blank word for each point. And if you'd like to take notes, you can use the back of your back of the paper, and I encourage you to do that, not because this is a great message, but it's a message that the Holy Spirit has given to me for such a time as this. Trials. You know, as I read that verse in Peter, once again, and I get down to the verse 13, where he says, "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be grateful. Hallelujah. And it's hard when those trials come. There's trials when, there's times when discouragement comes and when loneliness comes. You know, I'm reminded of what Dr. Graham said a number of times, and I heard him many times over the years when he preached to the Southern Baptist Convention. There's 10 things in life that Dr. Graham says we all deal with, but you know what the number one is? Number one is loneliness. And you know what? Pastors have a lonely life. It's not easy to be a pastor. It's not easy to be a shepherd. It's not easy to be an evangelist. You know, you have certain friends, you think that they're your friends. I'm so thankful for Pastor Greg. When him and I can get together and ride in the automobile and go to a meeting and be able to talk about things that are going on in our life. But trials. Being happy when those trials come is difficult. Being happy and rejoicing with exceedingly joy. Do you know the world is watching us? We talked a little bit about it in our Sunday school class today. The world is watching us, and you know, actions sometimes speak louder than words. I didn't say that because I knew I was going to say it in my message today, but action sometimes speaks louder than words. I'd rather see a sermon. I'd rather see a picture. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day sometimes. But believe me, we all have trials. And the first point that I want to share today from the Word of God is that we must turn to God. Turn to God. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, and there's one in the back of the book there, or in your pew there. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and I want to begin reading. This is a very familiar passage. Mark chapter 5, and I want to begin reading at verse 24. And there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And she had heard of Jesus come into the press, behold, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may just touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and felt in her body that she had been healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone from him, turned him about to the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude lingering there, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be made whole of the plague. Here's a woman that has had a trial. She had a disease. She had a blood issue. She was bleeding for 12 years. And she knew that if she could just go and turn to Jesus, that she could be healed. She'd spent every penny that she had on physicians. And yet, she wasn't cured. But she knew that if she could just go touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. You know, sometimes I feel like, and I include myself in this, sometimes I feel like, folks, that we don't turn to God, whatever that trial may be. She had this trial in her life as a physical trial. And we try to go to outside sources. Perhaps this trial has made you go to drink. Maybe it's made you withdraw. You feel lonelier. You feel like no one cares. But Jesus cares. Jesus said, if you just turn to me, God's word says, if you just turn to me, I will meet your need. We have an awesome God. You know, sometimes I feel like we put God in a box. He's a box God, you know. We put God in a box and say, you know, God's only just this big, or God's this big, or God's this big, or however big a box you have. But we serve a risen Savior. We serve a big God, amen? God is a big God. God can do exceedingly abundantly about what you ask or think. There's nothing impossible with God, but all things are possible with him, amen? That was a little weak. Amen? God is a gracious and awesome God. And sometimes I don't know why God doesn't answer my prayer right away or your prayer right away, but you know, God will answer our prayer in one of three ways. The need that we have if we go to God and cry out to him, as we'll see in just a moment. You know, God answers our prayers in one of three ways. Yes, no, or wait. When God says yes, we get excited. When God says no, we get disappointed. When God says wait, oh boy. Isn't that hard? Wait up. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 40, 31. That's not in your notes, but you can put it down. Wait upon the Lord. He shall renew your strength. We can mount up with wings as eagles. We can run and not get weary. We can walk and not faint. Hallelujah. I grew up in Illinois close to the Mississippi River, and I used to go up and watch the eagles fly in and the strength that they had in their wings. God wants to give us strength. God wants to walk by our side as I sang the song in the garden, aren't you so glad he's with us? He's there. He's got his arms around us. And he cares about you and about me. And you know, sometimes, young people, you try to do it on your own. We got some young people here today. Amen. Sometimes even adults try to do it on their own, but we've got to trust. We've got to turn to God. And if we'll turn to God, God will see us through. Amen. God will see us through even in the dark. David says and cries out in Psalms, and he says, the Lord was with me in the valley. He was with me on the mountaintop. He was with me when I had plenty, and he's with me when I'm poor. Amen. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. I'm so glad God is with me today. And I'm so glad that God is with you today. And he'll never turn his back on you. You know, we sometimes get away from God. I remember when you were first married, you used to ride along in the car as close together as you could get. You heard the old story, haven't you? Here's a grandpa going around the corner, and his wife slides over to the other side. Stays there. He looks over. She looks at him. He says, how come you moved? He says, I'm still in the same place I was for 25, 50 years. But she moved over to the door. God never leaves us. God is always there. And that's why we can cry out to God, and if we'll just turn to him. And perhaps you're here today and you've never really turned to God. You've never put your faith and trust in him. The Bible says that there's three R's of the gospel, and I want to share them real quickly. But the first R is that we have to realize that we're sinners. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Titus says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, according to his grace, he saved us. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have to realize that we're sinners. And then the second R is we have to repent. I like what Dr. Graham used to say when he said, talked about repentance. Just turning and going in the opposite direction of the way you were going. Making a complete turnaround. Repent. Romans chapter 10, you can read when you get home, 9 through 13 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the heart confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say you might be saved or you maybe be saved if you had enough money or if you had a big enough house or if you owned a fancy car. He said you could be saved. Amen. And then the third R is we have to receive him into our heart. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So I don't know your heart today. With all the technology that science will come up with, there's one thing that they'll never be able to do is look into the human heart and see if it's been changed from black to white. Only God himself can do that. So I don't know your heart today. But at the end, we'll have an invitation. And I encourage you, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you would open your heart today and you would receive him. Turn to God. Amen. And as Christians, we must turn to God. Will you turn with me real quickly to Psalms chapter 103? It's not in the notes in the bulletin. But Psalms chapter 103, verses 3 through 5. David is crying out here. Psalms chapter 103. Psalms 103. Verses 3 through 5. Glory in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. Remember, Turn to God and remember what God has done for you. Amen? After, the song says, after all he's done for me, how can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely after all he's done for me? Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus saved me one day. And I'm so glad that he called me into the gospel ministry to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ can only save you. Not only must we turn to God. Turn to God when problems come. If 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all of your care, cast all of your anxiety, cast all of your problems, loneliness, discouragement, whatever it may be, fill in the blank, but cast it upon the Lord and he will give you strength. Amen? We can trust in God, but we must turn to God first. And then secondly, we must trust in God. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17, and I want to read a couple of verses here. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We know the story of David and Goliath, and so I want to read a few verses. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I want to start reading at verse 45. 45 and down a few verses. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thee thy flesh unto thee, the fowls of the air, and the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. We must not only turn to God, but we must trust in God. David trusted in God. David knew that he was going to win. We're winners, amen. You are if you're saved. You're a winner. I mean, I used to run track. I used to run the 5-mile relay. I used to do lots of sports. And I remember the coach used to tell me many, many times, he said, hey, Gary, if you wouldn't look behind you all the time, you'd win more races. Sometimes we think about the past. But remember, God loves us. That's why he sent Jesus to cover our sins and to forgive our past, amen? But we have to trust in him. Trust in him. Not just trusting when we feel like it. Not just trusting when the good times roll. But trust him in all things. For Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according unto his purpose. We must trust in him at all times. We must lay it at the feet of Jesus. Your troubles are not too big. Those trials are not too big that God cannot see you through. You know, we live in a day of a secular humanistic philosophy that says you're number one. You don't need your parents. You don't need your grandparents. You don't need God. And I want to say today, when we took prayer and Bible reading out of the school, and I know there's some of you here can remember that, because I remember it very clearly. When they took prayer out of the schools, when they took Bible reading out of the schools, we ended up, and there's some teachers here today, you don't have to believe in God. Just do your own thing. You don't have to listen to your parents. Just do your own thing. Trust in yourself. I'm glad I don't trust in me. I'm glad I trust in God, amen? I'm glad that I can turn to him and trust in him. So we know the story that David prevailed. He said he would prevail because his God is faithful, because his God is with him. He took 5 little stones and put them in his sling, and he only used one. We know that song. One little stone went into the sling, and the sling went around and around. One little stone went up in the air, and what? Come on, people, the giant came what? Tumbling down, amen? I mean, he was a victory because God, he not only turned to God, but he trusted in God. You and I must trust in God. And then turn with me to one other passage. Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms chapter 71, verse 5. Psalms chapter 71 and verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. David says, I trusted you from my youth. I trusted you from when I was a little man, a little boy. And I continue to trust in God, so we must continue to trust in God in this journey called life. We can't go it alone. There are many people today that are hurting. Young people, adults, grandparents. And my encouragement to all of us is to keep trusting in God. Keep trusting in God. And in Proverbs chapter 3, you know, I think I put it in the notes, but Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge who? Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, Jeremiah has a, I think it's 11, 21, I didn't put it, 29, I didn't put it in my notes, but he has a plan for you, and he has a plan for me. Plans not to hurt me or to harm me, but for my good. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for this church. I really believe that with all my heart. And God has a plan to prosper you. And a lot of people try to take that verse out of context and say that, you know, God, if you, God doesn't give you $500,000, then you're not being prospered. It's not about money. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know that he will see us through every circumstance that faces us in life. I remember, and Greg knew our daughter, Kathy. I'll never forget when we got that call. I'd had a dream that Kathy was going to die. It was on a Sunday night at 1 o'clock in the morning I woke up. I've had three dreams, almost the same dream. I had a dream with my mother. I'd only been saved about 3 months. Who's going to believe a 10-year-old boy that just got saved? He had a dream, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Not too many people. I didn't even tell my dad. I didn't even tell my sister. I didn't tell my family. I didn't tell anybody. I had a dream about my mother dying, and she did. I had a dream, the same dream about my father. But I'll never forget when we got the call that Kathy passed away, or that Kathy was in the hospital. I knew that she'd already passed on. Talk about a trial. Talk about a burden. But I give it to Jesus. And Jesus has seen Louise and I get through the last 12 years. And he will continue to go with us. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost your husband or your wife or a child. But if you'll not only turn to Jesus but trust in him, he will see you through. He will get you through life's journey, and you'll not be alone. But trust in the Lord. You know, sometimes I think we just trust God with half of a heart, but God wants us to trust him with all of our heart. Amen? I mean, you don't have a half of a heart, do you? So that means you have a whole heart. So that means we should trust God with our whole heart and lean not to our own self, but trust in him to see us through. Then not only must we turn to God and trust in God, but we must talk to God. Daniel, if you'll turn back there with me, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, and I'll read a couple of verses. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, and I want to read verses verse 10 and verses 20 through 22. Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being opened to the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks to God as he did aforetime. And then down to verse 20. And when he came to the den, cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said, to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me for as much as before him. NLC was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I want to encourage us as a church to not neglect to pray together. Daniel was a man of prayer. You can go through the whole Bible, and there was men that got on their knees and prayed to God. I want to say this today, because I'm like Pastor Greg, and I may shed a tear or two here, but we need to pray for our convention. Our convention desperately needs a mighty movement of the Holy Spirit. There are things that have gone on in our convention that should not have been gone on and have been kept from the messengers. God help us. I believe in the power of prayer, amen? And I can remember as a young person going to a restaurant with my father, and the sign would be on the wall, the family that prays together stays together. I also want to relate that not only the family that prays together is going to stay together, but the church that prays together is going to stay together. And the nation that prays together is going to stay together. We must be on our knees. And I know these are only statistics, but I read not too long ago the average Christian prays less than 3 minutes a day. And we wonder why the power of God is not upon our families, our churches, our nation. It's because we have forgotten to pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek who? Seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. God help us as a nation. God help us as a church that will not forget to pray. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel took prayer seriously. He even went to the den of lions, not in fear, knowing God was going to deliver him from the den of lions. Are you afraid of something today that you might not be delivered from? We have an awesome God. God can deliver you of alcohol, drugs. God can do it all if we just get serious about praying for one another. Not only must we turn to God, not only must we trust in God, but we must continue to talk to God. And turn with me, if you will, to Psalms. I want to read Psalms chapter 88, and I'm not sure if that's in your notes, but I want to read three verses. Psalms chapter 88, verses 1 through 3. Psalms chapter 88, verses 1 through 3. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayers come before thee. Incline thine ear unto me, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. And then turn back to Psalms 70 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 70 and verse 1. You can write these in. If they're not in your notes there in the bulletin today, you can take them home and read them. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. And then I want to say this, that God's ears are always attentive. David says in Psalms, his ears are always attentive under my cry. Maybe you don't feel like you're getting through to God. But keep praying, because God's a faithful God to answer our prayers. As I said, in one of three ways, yes, no, or wait. And then lastly, I want to share real briefly that you and I must not only turn to God, we must not only trust in God, we must not only talk to God, but we must tune in on God. I grew up in a home, and some of you have probably seen these old-fashioned Crosley radios. They were about this high, you know. We didn't have TV back then. My daddy, he had some favorite stations, you know, that he liked to listen to. Well, I got home from school early before Dad got home from work. Guess what? I played with the knobs on the radio. So when Daddy'd come home, if I forgot to turn it back, tune it real fine. Yeah, I mean, it had a real fine tuning. You had to turn it in. Otherwise, it would squeak and yell at you and scream. Daddy come home one night, and he'd sit down after he'd gotten cleaned up and sat in his chair, and he turned on the radio. And I was in the room and said, "Son, come here. What'd you do to my radio?" I said, "Oh, Dad, I like to listen to it. I just played with the knobs, you know. They were black, and they were nice and pretty, you know, on that cabinet radio." And anyway, Daddy would have to fine-tune it again. And sometimes I feel like we're not tuned in on what God has to say. You know, the Holy Spirit is, aren't you glad that He, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "If I don't go to the Father, I can't send the Comforter to you, the Holy Spirit." Aren't you so glad over in John, He says, I got to go to the Father so I can send the Holy Spirit to you. Aren't you so glad that the Holy Spirit dwells in and He speaks to us in a still small voice? Amen? I'm so glad. I've heard His voice many times. I've heard Him speak to me in dreams. Through dreams, I've heard Him speak to me. It's like an audible voice. I know that we don't have God that we can talk to, but we can cry out to God, and through the Holy Spirit, He will communicate with us. Turn with me to Jonah as I finish. Jonah, chapter 1. We all know the story of Jonah. You know, Jonah, he kind of wanted to do his own thing, didn't he? And let me read Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come before me.' But Jonah rose up and to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." God spoke to Jonah and said, "Jonah, I want you to go and preach the gospel, preach against sin." And Jonah said, "I'm not going down there. I'm not going down there to those wicked people." Well, we all know the story that Jonah had to pay the price, amen? He got swallowed up in the belly of a fish, the great fish. Stayed there for 3 days and 3 nights, and finally he confessed and said, "God, I'll go preach at Nineveh." Sometimes God comes to us and says, "I want you to do this," or "I want you to do that." And we say, "No, God, I feel inadequate. I can't do it." I can remember when God saved me and He called me to preach when I was 12. And I can remember the first message, brother, that I preached when I was 13 years old. My knees were going like this. It was only about 5 minutes long, but I knew that God had His hand upon me. And I thank God that He called me into the gospel ministry. And I thank God for the opportunities I've had to travel the world abroad, preaching crusades and revivals around the world. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. God is calling us all to the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Hallelujah. I'm so glad He's with us today. I'm so glad He's with Pastor Greg and Lori and Kyle and Sue as they're doing a crossover. I had the privilege of doing that in Nashville. Not the last time we went to Nashville, but time before that. It's a great honor. It's a great privilege to be able to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that in the third chapter of Jonah, verses 1 through 4. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, and preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah arose and went unto the Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and the greatness of them, even to the least of them. God wants us to pray. We need to pray for the city. We need to pray for our families that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We need to share the gospel every opportunity. That's one prayer every morning I pray. Dear Lord, put someone in my pathway that I can share the gospel with. It doesn't happen every day, folks. But when you're sincere, God will give you little opportunities to drop little things here and there. And then somebody else will come along and water it. Someone will come along and cultivate it. And someone along will come and reap it. But there's a world out there that's lost and dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ. Unless you and I share the gospel, unless you and I pray for souls, it's not going to happen. God is looking for those that have souls on their mind and that want to see the lost come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to read one more verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who shall go for me? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Are you listening to the voice of God today? Because he's calling us all to do something for him. And it's in your bulletin, and I want to read this quote that I've put together. Because of God's love, he is a communicator. God is always communicating with us. But are we tuned in to his frequency? Do we always listen to God's voice? Will you pray with me? Father and our God, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us today to come and to share God's word with our church family. And Father, I pray that if there's one within the sound of my voice that has never come to the cross, I pray that today would be the day that they would receive you into their heart. Bless our time. As we depart from this place today, Father, may we have said in our hearts, it's been good once again to be in the house of the Lord. For we ask it all in Jesus' name and for your sake. Amen.